This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a play-in. I understand it's disappointing. And we're talking about this game. We're talking through it. But there are some bright spots in that game. I thought Brandon Pajemski was a bright spot. I thought Jimmy Butler was a bright spot. But again, I think all eyes on Jimmy Butler and that quad. How's it reacting today? How's it going to react tomorrow? And that is the one thing, the age of this team, having a game like that in overtime, and now just a day off in between, you're going to be going up against a young team in the Memphis Grizzlies. Say what you will about the experience factor, but I've seen this Grizzlies team, well, not the same Grizzlies team, but John Morant in a play-in game beat the Warriors at Chase Center. I have seen that before. It's happened. Different circumstances, I hear you, but it's not like they're going to be fearing this team. But 888-957-9570, your biggest takeaway from the loss yesterday was what? There's a lot we can talk about. We haven't really touched on it. Jonathan Kuminga, DNP. Is that surprising to you at all, Joe?
Not really. I mean, look, the guy is, right now, since coming back, he's a role player, right? And there are certain games, depending on the matchups, where certain role players don't play. And I felt, this felt like you know, winner go home situation, right? Even though I know that they have the play in. And TJD didn't play. Guy Santos didn't play. I mean, I was more surprised Quentin Post played. I know they were looking probably for some offense. So I was like surprised that he actually played. No, the coach is always going to revert to GP2. If you're asking like GP2 or Kuminga, if they're going to have overlapping opportunities, of course the coach is going to ride with GP2. Now, do I necessarily agree with it? Don't agree with it? I don't know. Like, I see it both ways. Like, I understand why GP2's out there. He is a trusted player by a lot of the veterans, and he was shooting hot for a couple of months. Okay, or at least a couple weeks, excuse me. I mean, he was over 50% at one point from three-point land. Yesterday, though, in crunch time, it did feel like he kind of turtled up a little.
He did.
And then defensively, I thought that he allowed Harden to get to his left hand and to his right hand multiple times on the floor. And he was just too slow at the top of the key and didn't move laterally quick enough to be able to slow him down. And that opened up a Harden layup on one possession where Draymond has to stay back and guard Zubac. On another one, it opened up a lob. So I think they could have used Kuminga's height. I think they could have used his athleticism. I don't know if it made much of a difference because it was pretty clunky offensively down the stretch.
I want to say,
and he's been pretty clunky.
Yeah, and last time they played the Clippers, and it's been a few months. I think it was back in December. Remember, Kuminga off the bench had 37 minutes, and he had 34 points. So again, it wasn't a loss, but he was incredible against that Clippers team that was basically playing all of their starters, albeit no Kawhi Leonard. So maybe that 34 points wouldn't have looked like 34 if Kawhi had been in the lineup. But again, 888-957-9570, your biggest takeaway yesterday. Most frustrating part. And you can go to the game. You could go to these last few games. Our first caller, Greg in San Francisco. And again, Peter, Coach, Robert, Mona, we'll get to you in a second. Like, it was all the games that that led up to that point for Greg that he came away with yesterday, where it was like, man, well, you lost to the Rockets. You know, you lost to the Hawks on that trip without Steph Curry. You lost to the Miami Heat who stunk without Steph. You lost to the Spurs on a Harrison Barnes made three-pointer. They didn't have Wembanyama or De'Aaron Fox, and you lose that game the way you did. To lose your last three games at home, you better not lose your fourth or your fifth, by the way, because you might have to do those It is frustrating, and it culminates all yesterday in a Los Angeles Clippers win for them, and they're in the playoffs, and you're not.
Well, like, I understand why people are going to bring him up today, and I get it, and I'm not mad at anybody who brings him up today, but he didn't play, right? And they still had multiple chances to win that game.
Yeah,
they did. Maybe he helps them win the game. Maybe he doesn't help them win the game. I don't know, but he didn't play yesterday. To me, the more, not egregious, but the more controversial one is like, maybe you go to Moody instead of Pods or GP2 down the stretch a little more defensively. And maybe you're not in that zone. Maybe you can play a little more matchup man. I don't know. Like,
Moody was ferocious early in that game.
I didn't love some of the Steph Curry doubles. Like, yeah. You know, if we're going to isolate a couple plays here and there, like, there were two specific opportunities where they're in basically a 3-2, three across the top, two underneath zone. And for some reason, late in the shot clock, Kawhi, who's not a threat, he's not coming downhill, he's not attacking, he's almost backing up with his dribble. Steph comes over and doubles him, and then it creates a 4-on-3 on the other end, and it was just, they got whatever they wanted in the lane or at the rim, and I thought that you kind of like, you led them into offense that you didn't need to. Like, let them be isolation scorers and live with it. Don't allow Zubac to catch the ball in the paint on a lob, and don't allow Chris Dunn to be able to flip it up either at the rim or to Zubac.
Let's get to some of these calls, Joe, shall we? Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. No guests today. The guests are the people. After a game like that, we want to hear from you, Dub Nation, whether it's on the YouTube chat, call. Same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. Robert, San Jose, what you got, buddy? How you doing?
Take my call, fellas. I'm going to say the same thing I said, I believe, it was last Wednesday. I'm kind of looking at Steve Kerr a little bit, not only for the continued unnecessary double teams. That was obviously part of the defensive game plan because they were doubling Zubac unnecessarily. And every time they doubled Zubac, it was an open three for somebody. Chris Dunn hit it.
Oh, no. Your connection did not hit that open three, though, Robert. I'm sorry. It bounced out. Call back, bud, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Coach in Vallejo and Valley Joe. How we doing, Coach? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joe and Joe. And I'm glad you finally brought up the Kuminga. But the first one to say, that game screamed for Andrew Wiggins, didn't it? To have on-ball defense on Kawhi or James Harden. You could almost see Kawhi and Harden laughing about the defenders they put on them. I would have played Jonathan Kuminga. I would have said, JK, we don't care about your offense. Shadow Kawhi. Shadow James Harden. The same way they shadow Steph. That's what this game called for. Pods, GP2 has a big heart, but he doesn't have a big body. And Pods, Steph, GP2, they had no chance against Kawhi and against James Harden. The game screamed for an athlete like Kuminga, even if he had to use his six fouls. You make Harden's life a living hell. You make Kawhi's life a living hell. Steve Kerr's hatred for JK is so apparent, and I put all of this on Steve Kerr because he's letting his personal feelings of JK get in the way of his coaching, and you both know that JK is the best top-of-the-key on-ball defender on the Warriors right now since Andrew Wiggins is gone. And for Butler to play 47 minutes, one rebound, Draymond, three rebounds for 40 minutes, that's ridiculous. The game screamed for JK. That's my point, guys.
All right. That's Coach Vallejo. Hatred for Jonathan Kuminga? Steve Kerr hates any of his players. It's very strong, and I refute that. I understand his passion yesterday. You lost the game, and yeah, could Kuminga have helped in a multitude of ways, as he's alluding to? Sure, but also scoring the ball-wise and, you know, the amount of turnovers the Warriors needed, I think Kuminga could have contributed that negatively as well in a game like yesterday. They had opportunities to win it. Like, so you can nitpick all you want, and at no point in yesterday's game did I think about Andrew Wiggins once. Is Andrew Wiggins putting up 30 points like Jimmy Butler did yesterday, Coach? I don't think so. I just don't. He's not.
There was a couple of times where Butler had a guy ISO'd out up top, and Curry just Curry, well, maybe that was the game plan, and that is where I would like say, hey, Kerr, like, what are we trying to accomplish with 7 seconds to go on that shot clock, and you're going to bring Steph up, and you're already in a zone, so you're kind of like subject to the big skip passes. Right. Like, how do you beat a zone, right? Just to anyone out there. You beat a zone by dribble drive penetration, skip passing, and shooting from long range, right? Am I wrong? Did I miss anything?
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're the coach.
And multiple times they would bring the double team up. Now it's making it more difficult, and you already are at a size disadvantage at the rim. And now it's 4-on-3 the other direction, and you're giving guys either the free throw in, meaning one dribble, boom, let me throw the floater, or one little dribble, suck the defender over, who's Draymond, let me throw the lob to Zubac, or the kick out, which is what they did a couple of times, and they got lucky they didn't shoot better threes.
Right, no, and you mentioned it right there, that moment where he doubled Steph coming over to help Butler on Kawhi. Kawhi's just such a high IQ player. Like, maybe with some other guys, you could have forced a turnover there, but not Kawhi Leonard, who's bigger than both of them, who's got the length. Guy's got like a 7-foot wingspan, I want to say. And what did he do? He just, skipped it right over to Zubac. No one's as tall as Zubac on the Warriors. He's going to dunk over everyone. And he was doing that ad nauseum. If it's a Zubac yesterday, 22 points, 17 boards, 4 offensive boards, and 9 overall offensive boards for the Clippers. And we mentioned the second chance points for them. It was 14 to the Warriors 6, and that was the difference in the game.
One of the biggest plays this game, which is not going to get talked about enough, first possession of overtime. GP2's open. He passes it up, They swing it back around. They settle for a late shot clock, little push, multiple late shot clock possessions, a little like push shot with the offhand.
It was like a little bunny, and it would just barely graze the rim. Yeah.
All right. Then you get a box out by Jimmy Butler. You get a big rebound on the other end. You come back down, and Pods has that air ball, and it's that missed Steph Curry layup. Steph is out of the frame, so I don't know what happened. He doesn't hustle. Did he get tussled up with a fan in the front row because of, you miss the layup and you go kind of flying into? I don't know what happened, but they go back the other direction, and credit the Clippers. They push the pace, okay, instead of walking the ball up, and you get a hardened quarter three, and bang, they go up three right there. And it was like, wow, that's a big momentum play.
It was a gut punch early on.
And then you get the Curry turnover on the pick by Chris Dunn. So it's back-to-back Curry, mistakes, if you will. The missed layup, which is a tough play, but he comes down, goes up, and then just gets his pocket picked. And Harden, bang, top of the key three. You're up 6. Boom. Or, the Clippers are up 6. Yep. Like, that felt pretty insurmountable, quite frankly. Even though Draymond answered back with a 3, you were lucky to make it a 1-possession game.
The chef was cooking yesterday. He was making some creme brulee, 36 points, but a lot of turnovers as well. 8 of them for the chef yesterday, Steph Curry. And again, Jimmy Butler, he showed up. Playoff Jimmy, I thought, showed up yesterday. He hit the boards, as coach called. He's like, only one defensive rebound, only 3 rebounds for Draymond. But again, Clippers got size, man. They're big.
But your guards have to rebound on this offense. Exactly. I mean, on this team. Like, if you're going to play 3 guard lineups,
I hear you.
GP2 and Pods.
Pods at 7. Pods got the boards.
No, yeah. He did. Curry, Jimmy's got a rebound. Dre. So, and then if you're going to play Moses Moody and then he doesn't play in the final, essentially the final 5 minutes until the last couple possessions defensively, it's everyone on board needs to rebound.
42 to 25 in favor of the Clippers for rebounds. 42 to 25. It's pretty incredible.
Ben Simmons had 2 big second and third chance opportunities. No, he did.
No. I'm laughing because I'm watching the game because I don't want. Listen, I'm not watching League Pass Clippers. I'm just not watching them. But the fact that Ben Simmons is getting playoff level minutes in that game.
I was surprised.
And then
he made a great pass.
He was getting the minutes, and the Warriors are immediately going on a run to get a 10-point double digit lead. I was like, well, of course, because Ben Simmons is a game for the Clippers. Now, he didn't play that much, but again, he made some winning plays, and he had 2 offensive boards, as you said, and it contributed to, and he had an assist, and it contributed to points on the other side.
It was 82-81, okay? 82-81. There's 41 seconds left in the half, and Jones gets an offensive board, and then Post gets a deflection, which goes out of bounds. That was Ben Simmons on a pass. He doesn't even guard Ben Simmons to shoot. He guards the pass. Norman Powell gets a miss. Ben Simmons, another rebound. Second effort, kicks it out to Jones. And then another rebound after another miss on a Powell shot. And then Norman Powell hits a layup. They go up 83-82, all right? And then they just pack the paint. Pods takes a bad shot to end the quarter, all right? And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They go up 1 to end the quarter. Early in the fourth quarter, a third chance opportunity again. Pods gets the steal, and then Harden strips him immediately after. Then Bogdanovich misses a bunny. Ball goes right back to him. Second chance. And then, boom, he puts it right back up in, and Zubac lands it in. They had 3 chance opportunities at the end of the third and the fourth. All of these little possessions come back to haunt you.
You're listening on